You know, one of the qualities of the Gospels is to emphasize prayer. And all four of the Gospel writers emphasized in a great way the importance of prayer in our lives. And we find it even before we go to the Gospels. We go back into the Old Testament, and particularly with a man by the name of David. Many of the psalms that he wrote was prayers to his God. Thankfulness prayers to his God. Petition prayers to his God. To let him know what he needs, his desires, and to thank God for the wonderful blessings, because, you know, David was a man after God's own heart, and David knew that, and he was so thankful to have that kind of relationship with his God. And I do hope that you and I sit here today with a desire to have the kind of relationship with God that David had. And so many other of the Old Testament characters used prayer as an avenue in their life. You know, in the New Testament, the book of Luke particularly records more of Jesus' prayers than the other three Gospels. You know, Luke records Jesus praying at his baptism. The purpose of Jesus' baptism was to fulfill all righteousness, which he did, not only in his baptism, but throughout his life. When you and I were baptized into Christ, we showed Christ's righteousness. And we was completing that righteousness in our lives with our baptism. Jesus prayed the night before he chose his apostles. We read this in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Knowing that the right decision had to be made in choosing the right people to go into the world to preach the gospel, because it all started with them. And you and I today, we carry on that command of going into all the world, but it began with them. And he knew the importance of picking the right people for that. So he prayed about that. He prayed for Peter when he told him that he would deny him three times. Peter was human. Peter was bound to fall, just as you and I are bound to fall in life, even as Christians. But he prayed for Peter that when he returned to him, that he would be a tremendous tool for him and his work, which Peter was. And he prayed about that. When he was on the cross, he prayed for all of those who had a part in putting him on the cross and sending him to his death. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he prayed forgiveness to all of those people who had a part in putting him to death. Luke also records three parables about prayer that are not found in the other Gospels. The first one is in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10. It is the parable of the friend who comes at midnight asking for food. This is a prayer that teaches persistence, because this man was told no. But he kept on, I need this, I have a desire for this. And finally the man gave him what he wanted because he was persistent. The second parable found in Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 8, was of the persistent widow who came to the king with a request, and he said, leave me alone, go away. But she wouldn't go away, and she kept on and she kept on. And finally he gave her what she asked because she was persistent. This teaches us, my friends, that prayer is a persistent thing. You may not get an answer the first time you ask for something, but continue to pray for that. More than one person pray for a thing in life. Like the many of you prayed for me during my sickness and during my procedure. And I'm so thankful that so many people did. And I honestly believe it made a difference in the outcome. The third parable that Luke taught was in Luke 18, verse 9 through 14. And this, of course, was the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. This particular parable that Jesus teaches humility. God will hear the prayer of the humble. He will not hear the prayer of the man who exalts himself. So these are two things about prayer that Luke is trying to get across to us. That through humility we pray to God, knowing that it is His will that is to be done. And also that we need to continue in our prayers. Paul said, pray without ceasing. And I'll mention that again later on in the lesson. But then in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, we find at the beginning of the friend who comes at midnight parable, Jesus is asked by his disciples, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. You know, sometimes I'm afraid we don't know how to pray. In our prayers, it may be in a rash. It may be in a situation where we are in a demanding situation. And we go to God demanding that He do something for us, and that we demand that He help us, or we may go to Him without thinking and not really knowing what to ask for and ask for the wrong thing. And the disciples knew the importance of how to pray. They needed to do it the right way. So Lord, teach us to pray. The subject of prayer is so important in our lives today. It is a crucial part in the life of a Christian. And if we desire that closeness to God and to our Lord Jesus, prayer is an absolute must. In fact, the strength of our prayer life very likely correlates with the strength of our relationship that we have with God. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands as to who in this room has a routine prayer life. I do hope that every one of us who have put on the cloak of Christianity has a routine prayer life in his life. We have certain times of the day that we will stop and we will bow our heads, or we will look to the heavens and we will pray to the God who has given us everything that we have and have made us everything that we are. If nothing else but to thank Him for the blessings of the day that He has given us. It is so important that when we arise from our pillow that we thank our God in heaven that we were able to rise from our pillow. Because if He chose that we not, we won't. And we need to know that. As we go through our day, we need to ask God to help us maybe when things don't go the way that we need them to go. And ask Him to help us to make our day better. And as we go through our day, we need to stop and thank God for the things that have gone right in our lives. I would like to think that things have gone right with everyone here today. Be thankful for that. God has given me a tremendous blessing today because I wasn't sure I'd get to be with you. And I am so thankful that I am, and I give God the glory and the praise for that. So we need to thank Him for the things that have gone our way. And when we pillow our head at night, we need to thank God for giving us a day because He did not have to give it to us. And ask for Him a tomorrow. You see, God, whether we like it or not, whether we want to admit it or not, God is in control of our lives. He makes every decision in our lives. Oh, we say, well, I make my own decisions. I decide when I'm going to get up. I decide when I'm going to go to work. I decide what I'm going to eat for breakfast. I decide where I'm going to do. I decide all of this myself. No, you really don't. Because if there is any one thing in your life that God does not want you to do, you will not do it. He has that kind of control. And I got to tell you, my friends, that's a good thing. Because there is someone controlling us who knows what's best for us and wants what's best for us and will see to it what is best for us happens in our lives. God is that kind of God. And that's why we need to pray to Him and have that kind of relationship with Him. Now, for the next few minutes, I'm going to discuss prayer. I am going to discuss the process of properly communicating. I say Philip grinning. Oh, no, this is going to be long. It's really not, folks. How do you communicate with your God? First of all, and I've already answered this, what is prayer? Prayer is the way that God has provided for you and me to communicate with Him. I have a friend, he's passed now, Brother Lamar Plunkett. He was the minister of our congregation when Pat and I got married. And he told me on one occasion that he would sit in a car and be driving down the road. Of course, you don't pray while you're driving because most of us close our eyes when we pray. You don't do that while you're driving. But he would come to a traffic light, and when that traffic light stopped him, he would pray. And he would pray until the car behind him blew their horn and he knew to wake up and move on. Is that not wonderful, folks? He had that kind of prayer life that he could just simply talk to God any time in his life and felt good about it. You know, we understand that prayer is a two-way street. And we know that we both need to listen to God and we need to talk to God. Through our prayers, we communicate to God what our needs are, what our requests are. Through our prayers, we acknowledge what God has done for us. We praise Him. We thank Him for what He has done for us. We need to thank Him for what He is doing for us now. And we need to thank Him for what He is going to do for us later on in life. Because He's done it all. You know, God is the originator of our prayers. Prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, seek the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near. You know, not everybody lives near to God. I do hope all of us do. Some people are not near to God and can't call upon Him because their lives are not what they should be. We need to have the kind of life that we can call upon the Lord. You know, in Genesis 4, verse 26, it is recorded for us the first example of someone communicating with God through prayer. It was with the image of Seth. And it says in verse 26, as for Seth, to him also a son was born. His name was Enosh. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Genesis chapter 4, men began to pray to God. And from that time on, man has used this avenue of prayer to communicate with God. Now, the next question that I want to ask is why? Why do we pray to God? Well, we sit down, and we'll do this in just a few minutes when we get out into the annex, and we will have a prayer thanking God for the food that we're about to receive. And I think that's appropriate because this is what Jesus did. He prayed to His God and thanked His Father for the food and the blessings of life. Why should I be praying? Why should I want to pray? Well, first of all, we should be praying because God wants us to talk to Him. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, that we should cast our cares on Him because He cares for us. Now, how do you cast your cares on the Lord? You go to Him in prayer and you tell Him what your needs are, like He doesn't already know. Of course, He already knows. But He wants you to communicate with Him. I would like to think that those of us in this room who are married, we know that our spouse loves us. But what if they never tell us? Can we affirm that? I've already told my wife several times today that I love her. and she has responded in kind. I do hope that you have that kind of relationship with your husband or wife that you can tell them I love you and you can show them that you love them. We need to be that way with God. We come to God and we let Him know that our love is with Him because we know His love is with us. And we know that we can come to Him with our problems, with our difficulties in life, knowing that He cares. And we need to understand that God is not inaccessible to us. He is always available to us. I can tell you one thing. He was in the operating room at Emory University Hospital Tuesday because the last thing I remember before I went out was I was praying to my God. And He was there. He is with us, folks. He is always with us. He has done what is needed to be done to make it possible for us to talk to Him. Acts 17. Verse 26 beginning, He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell upon the face of the earth and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings so that they should seek Him in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. He's available, folks. He's always there. God's own Son is the intercessor between us and God. The Hebrew writer tells us this, Hebrews 7, verse 25, therefore He is also able to save us, or save to the utmost, those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus Christ is the one who links us with God. And God wants that. He wants us to listen to or to pray to Him. We should be praying because first now it's a commandment. Did you know that prayer is actually a commandment? You know, we sometimes we flaunt prayer. If we find ourselves in a public gathering and we need to look churchy, we'll want to say a prayer for our food or for something that we think we have a need of because it looks good, don't it? Paul simply says, pray without ceasing. In other words, every breath that you take is given to you by God above. And you need to thank Him for it. Philippians 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Colossians 4, verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. These aren't requests, folks. These are commands. And Paul says it even stronger in Ephesians 6:18, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We must pray. Prayer is a part of our worship. They prayed as part of their service. So do we. I should be praying because it is a privilege to pray. It is a privilege that has been granted to the righteous. Friends, if I'm living like I ought to, God is there to take care of me. He is going to take care of my needs. He is going to hear my request. You know, James tells us just how powerful our prayers can be. James 5 and verse 16. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. King James says avails. Same thing. It is powerful. Right before he said this in verse 16, he is talking about Christians asking for the forgiveness of their sins by confessing their faults. And he says God will forgive because that's how powerful prayer is. Peter, in 1 Peter 3, verse 12. He quotes David from Psalm 34, verse 12 and verse 16. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. God wants to hear you, my friends. And it is a privilege. Because this verse goes on to say, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. If you're a child of God, it's a privilege to approach him in prayer. I should be praying because I am grateful. Is there anybody in this room today who is not grateful about something? I'm grateful for the family that has passed on that I no longer have with me and hurt so bad when they left. But you know what else you have in that thought? You have had time with them. You have enjoyed their presence. You have lived in love and you have lived in rejoicing because of their lives. Whether it be a mother or a father, a son or a daughter, a brother or a sister or whoever. And yes, we mourn loss when they're gone. But we should cherish their lives when we had them. That's why God gives us the memory to do that. Be grateful even for that. You know, gratitude is a quality that is now becoming slack in our society today. Today's society has become selfish. We have become entitled. And we have become self-centered. And we have reached a point to where we can't say thank you anymore. You know, I guarantee you drive through the McDonald's here on Dawson Road and you hand them your money, they're not going to tell you thank you. I've never had one do it yet. When you deal with people back and forth and you do things for one another, learn how to say thank you and learn how to say you're welcome when someone says thank you to you. In today's society, even if someone is thankful for some kindness that someone has done, they're often too prideful to say it. They know that something's been done for them, but I'm not going to say anything about it. Make me look weak. And maybe they just don't give it a second thought. My friends, as Christians, if we appreciate God, and I do hope everyone in here does, if we appreciate God, we will express gratitude to him in prayer. And we will let it be known to other people that we are grateful to God for the good things that he does for us. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. You know what this is basically telling us? We're spoiled. God has done so much for us. We may not even think about it. We may get up in the morning and just say, well, this is the way it is. It's going to be a good day today. I'm going to have a good time. And we move with that. And God has given all of this to us. He has spoiled us, is what he has done. And we can't be grateful for that. Does anybody in here know how to spoil? We got any grandparents in here? Yeah. We know how to spoil, don't we? Sure we do. My friends, God's not a grandparent. He's our father. And he spoils us more than we could ever spoil our kids or grandkids. I'm going to tell you that. And we need to be thankful for the things that he has done for us. Then I should be praying because I have needs. I have needs that only God can provide. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When I was at Emory, and I was facing this heart procedure, the doctor kept telling me, I've done this every day. This is not difficult for me. There is no reason that I can't fix the blockage in your heart. You know, that didn't really make me feel as good as I thought it should have. Because he was doing something that is done with human hands, and something could go wrong. Especially when he told me he was going to put a drill in my artery and drill out the calcium that was blocking my artery. When he told me that, because I know what a drill can do. Yeah. Come to find out, he didn't use a drill. He did something else, which was a lot safer. And when I found that out, I was kind of happy about that. But you know that, I mean, I was very grateful when he said, we do this every day. And it made me feel a little better, yeah. But you know, I'm in God's hands. Man's hands can do something wrong. God's hands will not do anything wrong. And I can put my trust in God. There are things that only God can do for me. And I need to pray to him because of that. And believe it or not, there are just things in life that I want. I have desires. I want to live in a little bit of luxury. Don't you? I mean, don't you want to kick up your feet in a recliner? I mean, a regular chair won't do that, will it? Don't you like to have a nice, comfortable bed to sleep in at night? And some people don't. You know, I remember Claude Harrell Sr. telling me at one time that when he was a child, they slept on hay. Can you imagine sleeping on hay? You know what hay does when you lay down on it? It compresses and it becomes as hard as a rock. And he used to sleep that way. My bed is soft. It is soft when I lay down. It is soft when I get up. I like that. There are things that I like. There are things that I want in life. So why not tell God, God, I would love to have this. God, if you can see fit to let me be a little comfortable, I would like to do that. What's wrong with that? Not a thing in the world. But we need to pray to God our desires, so if he decides he wants to provide it for us, he will. And if I have sin in my life, that is the only place that I can go to get it removed. Only God can do that. People will come to me, and I've had people actually do this, wanting me to forgive them of a sin. Friends, I can't do that. I'm sorry. I don't have that kind of power. Now, I can bow my head in prayer with you, and I can pray that God forgive you of your sin. I've done that many, many times. But I can't forgive you. Only God can do that. So if I have sin in my life, how can I be forgiven? For the Christian, get this, folks, for the Christian, the only avenue for forgiveness is through prayer. John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How do we confess our sins to God? We pray. Now, we have an example of this in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, and it's through Simon the sorcerer. Simon the sorcerer, who was a Christian, by the way, he was a baptized believer. He saw the apostles performing miraculous works. And him being a, quote, magician, he wanted that power. So he tried to buy the power of the Holy Spirit from the Apostle Peter. And this is what Peter said. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God that perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Do what? Pray. Pray to God that perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven. Now listen to what else he says. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Man, can you imagine being that wicked? That you're going to be bitter toward God and you're bound by iniquity? Who wants that? So how do you get out of that? Pray. Pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven. And as far as desires go, John again gives us the answer. 1 John 5, verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Now let me stop there for just a minute. I can't tell you how many people have come up to me in my years of service as a minister of the church and have come up to me and said, well, I prayed that God would do this for me and He didn't do it. I asked that He do this and He didn't do it, and I asked that this not happen and it happened. Now let me read this verse again. Listen to it carefully. That if we ask anything according to His will. Let me tell you a fact of life that we are going to have to accept whether we like it or not. God is going to have His will. Period. He is not going to give us our way. But we also need to know this. God's will for you and me is better than anything that we could do for ourselves. God's will for you and me will always be the best for you and me. Now, a lot of times we don't understand that, do we? Sometimes things happen to us that are not good. And we just can't understand. How can this be God's will for me and be good? How can that happen? How can that be? I don't know. But it is. And if you have faith in God as your Heavenly Father and your Savior, you will believe that. Yeah. You know, when I came down in the book in March with pancreatitis, that scared me to death. My wife had pancreatitis when she was in her 30s. She was in intensive care for a week and in the hospital for 2 weeks. And I found out later on that only 30% survived pancreatitis back in the 90s. That scared me to death when they said, you have pancreatitis. Thankfully, they've come a long way with pancreatitis and they're dealing with it. I'm thankful for that. But that scared me to death. Then I found out that the reason for that was because I have gallstones. So I go to the surgeon, I'm going to have my gallbladder removed, and the surgeon says, well, you had a heart cath about 10 years ago. We need to have that heart checked out before I do this surgery. And you know what? They found that blocked artery. If I had not had pancreatitis, if I had not had to go to a surgeon for gallstone surgery, I would never have known about that blocked artery, which was 90%+, and I had a heart attack on the way. That was God working, folks. I couldn't understand, why am I getting pancreatitis? Why am I in the hospital? Why am I this close to death? Well, there was a reason for it. It was God's will that it work out this way. I praise Him for that. We need to praise God for the things that happen to us, because God's will is always what is best for us. We need to know that. I got to wrap up here. I'm sorry. Finally, we should be praying because it puts me in my place. Let me tell you who we're not. We are not God. We are not in the position to make decisions that God makes in our lives. You know, humility is a crucial property, quality, when it comes to prayer. We need to develop a realization that who we are and who God is, and that we are not Him. When we offer prayers to God, we are understanding and acknowledging His greatness, that He can say yes or no to things that we're not able to say yes or no to. We give Him our adoration, we give Him our reverence, we give Him our praise, because He can do things for us that we cannot do for ourselves. And we also need to acknowledge His grace and His mercy, His love, and His forgiveness. Because those are also things that we cannot do for ourselves. We need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. and He will lift us up. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 3, which is part of the great Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are who? The poor, the spirit, the humble. David suggests this humility in Psalm 8 and verse 4. He said, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" Who are you? You're not God. Humble yourself before the sight of the Lord. You know, when we think about prayer, we need to realize just how important prayer is. I hope I've made that clear this morning. And as with every other gift that we receive as Christians, this is a blessing that we need to grow in. We need to develop our prayer life because it is a tremendous blessing. I don't mind telling you, I feel so much better about life, about myself, about my family, when I talk to God about them in prayer. My wife and I do this every night before bed, and I cherish it because we are giving praise and glory to the one that really matters. So I guess my question to you this morning is this: how is your prayer life? Do you even have a prayer life? Christian, if you don't have a prayer life, shame on you. If your prayer life is not what it should be, it may be because there is sin in your life that is preventing you from having a correct prayer life. And if that is the case, friends, prayer is the only answer for you. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Prayer is what does that, folks. And if you're not a Christian, you have no prayer life. God doesn't listen to the prayers of the sinner. But you can develop a prayer life today by obeying the gospel and becoming a child of His. It is such a wonderful blessing. It has blessed me in so many ways. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.